Before we look at the Bible story, anybody recognize this Paralympian? Her first name's Kadima. Kadina Cox. And the reason I brought her picture up there is because in any competition, there can be both glory and or disappointment. And Kadina Cox has 4 gold medals. She won those in the 2016 and the 2020, although it was delayed, of course, because of COVID. So it actually happened, the Paralympics, it happened in 2021. So she's got 4 gold medals over those 2 Paralympic Games. But of course, many of you will know that she had a fall when she was doing her time trial. She was in the final of her 500 meter cycling time trial. And, she was out of that. And it was such a disappointment for her. She was absolutely in tears and it was a real pain to her. Now she's still hoping to be able to compete in the cycling team challenge, the team sprint rather. That is later today. So when you get home, if you're watching the Paralympics, watch out for Kadina Cox as part of the cycling team sprint. Now, the reality is we won't all suffer the sort of, or have the possibility of glory that Kadina Cox has, but also that danger of such great disappointment on the TV screens of the world where everybody can see. But I guess we will have unfulfilled dreams. We'll have things that we would hope to do and not able to do. We'll have times when it's clear that life brings its disappointments. Times when we aren't able to do or be the people that we wanted to be in our lives. We all have hopes and dreams, and not all of those will be fulfilled. But the Bible gives us a picture of God as one who has hope for our restoration. If there's one thing about God, it is that disappointments do not need to be the end of the story. Disappointments don't need to be the thing that defines the whole thing. The reality is God is a God of restoration. He wants to restore us even in the face of failure, of crisis, or even, as for Kadina Cox, real disaster from a sporting point of view. When we feel despondent, when we feel disappointed or even despairing, God reminds us, I know, not I have an idea of, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. What has gone before does not need to define us for what will be in the future. So let's look at this story from Luke chapter 14. There once was a man who was giving a great feast to which he invited many people. There we have a picture of a great feast there. Now I'm not sure whether they have jollof rice there, whether it's Ghanaian, whether it's Nigerian, I don't know. But it looks like a great feast. Let's not go there, you know? Don't want to stir up any unnecessary competition. But there was once a man who was giving a great feast to which he invited many people. The man sent his servant to tell his guests, come, everything is ready. But they all began to make excuses one after another. Oh, I've got to go and see family. I've got this to do. I've got to go and plow my field. They're all making excuses. No, perhaps later, perhaps next time. All making their excuses. Hurry out to the streets and alleys of the town, said the man who wanted to throw this party. Hurry out to the streets and alleys of the town. Bring back the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. Bring everyone in. He's saying there, bring everyone who's usually ignored, who's usually passed over, who nobody is very interested in inviting to a great banquet. Bring in the people who really want to be there, for whom it's a great privilege, who are so, feel so honoured to be invited. The servant said, "Your order's been carried out, sir, but there is still room for more. The hall where the party's going to be is not yet full." So then the master said to him, "Go out to the country roads and lanes and make the people come in so that my house will be full. Bring the people in so that my house will be stuffed full of people who want to be there, who realize the privilege of being invited to this great banquet." There's an old, some of you will know, I grew up in the Salvation Army. In fact, I was a minister in the Salvation Army for 13 years. And there's one or two of you out there, Neil may know this. There was an old Salvation Army chorus that said, "Bring them in with all their sin, he'll wash them white as snow." Did you ever sing that one, Neil? Yeah. There's no escape, is there, eh, mate? "Bring them in with all their sin, he'll wash them white as snow." That idea that God doesn't care how difficult our background might be. He doesn't care where we've come from. He just wants to tell us where we're going. That actually he is the one who restores. He's the one who washes away all the stuff, the failures, the sense of inadequacy. He's the one that says to us, "The future you have is in my hands. You can walk with me into it." This reminds me of another celebration in the Bible. In the next chapter, we've looked at Luke 14, but in Luke chapter 15, there's the most amazing party that many of us may be aware of. The prodigal son, when he came from a distance. The son was still a long way from home, and I love the way that you can picture this. The father's out the front of the house, looking off into the distance, down the road. He knows that's where his son's going to come from. He's been looking for days and weeks and months and perhaps years. And one day he's looking out there, and in the distance, he sees the figure he's been longing to see. And while the son was still a long way from home, when his father saw him, his heart was filled with pity, filled with love. And he ran and threw his arms around him and kissed him. You know, in the Jewish context, fathers were meant to be the ultimate figures of authority. You did what father said. Some of you might have had dads like that, who laid the law down and you did as you were told, and that was the end of it. The picture that God, we are being given here is of a father who is prepared to give up all of that status, and he runs down the road to his son who's broken every rule that he gave him. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. That's a picture of God. God, in coming to this earth, gave up all of his status, all of the glories of heaven to come to this earth. And in that sense, metaphorically, he threw his arms around us. He kisses us and says, "I'm so glad you're home." The father didn't interrogate his son. "What have you been doing out there? What's all that pig swill you got around the side of your lips?" None of that. He didn't ask any of those questions. You see, we may be aware of our shortcomings and failures and weaknesses, and God is as well, but God doesn't use those to define us. God tells us that we're made in his image, whatever our ethnicity, whatever our gender, whatever our orientation, whatever our disability or lack of it. And to be honest, in my mind, haven't we all got limitations? You know, I have to wear these glasses because if I take them off, I'll fall off the front of this stage. You know what I mean? We all have limitations. Just some of them are defined as disabilities. But God tells us that we are valued by Him. In our culture that's obsessed with, as I look at it, it's obsessed with beauty. It's obsessed with youth, which I had many, many years ago. Don't laugh, Janet. And also, it's obsessed with success. Those are the things that our world is obsessed with. Beauty, youth, and success. But Jesus tells us the last will be first. And the first will be at the back of the queue. The gospel tells us that the slave is made free by God. Now, there are many slaves in our world today, and they may say, well, I'm not free yet, but the promise of God is that His intention is that all slaves will be free. That is His heart and His desire. The weak can become strong in Jesus. And all of this is made possible because of a bruised, wounded, tortured Savior who gave His life, who was dead but is now alive. Hallelujah. I want to finish telling you a story. It's a story about an alligator. And I thought it was interesting. When we were singing about, you know, the butterfly, one of the lines was, if I was a crocodile, I'd thank the Lord for my big smile. Well, it just depends the context in which you're seeing that smile, doesn't it? If you're seeing that smile because this crocodile or alligator is coming up to you quite fast, looking quite hungry, you're probably not going to share in that particular smile. But let's leave that to one side. Because this story is about an alligator attack. And I read this story quite a few years ago now. It was of a young boy, sort of like late primary school, that sort of thing. And he was swimming in what was thought to be a safe bathing area in Florida, in the state of Florida. But somehow, an alligator had found its way into this stretch of water and it attacked this boy. His mother was there with the boy. He was in the water and his mum was on the shore watching, and she saw it happen and she ran into the water and grabbed his arms. Just as the creature tried to drag the boy off into the water, there was an incredible tug of war between them. Now, obviously, the alligator was much stronger than the woman, but she had love and passion on her side. She would not let go. A passerby heard the screams, and someone had a rifle. Well, hey, it's the United States. Someone had a rifle, and so they came and they shot the alligator. Remarkably, after many weeks in hospital, this young boy was able to walk again. The local newspaper, you know, they're always looking for stories of, you know, incredible stories like this. And so they came and said, can we interview you, the mum, and your son? And she said, checked with him, yes, they're happy to be interviewed. The reporter asked how the boy was recovering from his alligator bites. And he pulled up his trousers and he showed his legs, which had great big scars all down them. But then the boy said these words. With obvious pride, the boy said to the reporter, but look at my arms. They've got great scars on them as well. They have them because my mum would not let go. They're the scars of love. She would not let go of him, and therefore he was proud of those scars that showed the love that his mum had for him. Jesus still carries his scars. Remember what he said to Thomas. Put your finger here and look at my hands. Then stretch out your hand and put it in my side, said Jesus. Stop your doubting and believe. Jesus still carries his scars, his wounds, even now as he lives and reigns in heaven. He has them because he would not let go of us. He would not let go. And of course, all of us carry scars and wounds. We carry the troubles of our lives. We carry the hurts. Some of us carry physical infirmities. We carry all sorts of things, even traumatic experiences we've had. We carry these things as wounds, as scars, as it were. But God loves and accepts us with them. Yes, he wants to help us come through them and overcome them, but just like Jesus in heaven now, we still carry them to some degree. But Jesus wants to show his glory and his goodness through those scars, those wounds that we carry. Like I've said before, God's kingdom, God's grace grows through the cracks in our lives.